Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Today, we get to interview Ben Harris, who goes by The Fear Guy. And you can actually look him up on social media at the.fear.guy. Now, he is your guide for navigating fear and anxiety. And that is everything we're going to dive in through on this podcast. It's rooted in love and the superpower of belief in himself and others. Ben is the testament of what possibilities arise when you lean into fear and trust your inner knowing. So we're going to unpack exactly what that means. We're going to dive into so many topics that might sound familiar, but actually getting to the deeper level of them all. So this is a very interesting, such a good interview, and I hope you take away a lot of little nuggets of wisdom as we go into this. Ben, I am so excited to have you here. I mean, we met back in 2019 when I was on your podcast, and now here we are having you on ours, which is so exciting, and especially just all the life that has transpired for both of us since then and what you're stepping into now. It's really cool to see. So appreciate having you here.
Jen, thank you. And Dom, thank you as well. Like, this is really cool to even just think about where we were a few years ago. I mean, life is obviously much different.
Yeah.
And but I'm so grateful, and I know both of us are, of just how life has turned out. It's pretty freaking awesome. So I'm excited to dive into it.
Yeah, and this is going to be a really fun topic, not something that we've talked about a ton with guests on our podcast about being fear. And again, kind of like you mentioned, you as a father now, us coming up on parenthood, fear being a huge conversation when it comes to, you know, what can happen in our lives, what can happen to our kids or the people that we love. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to kind of start dicing into this with you. But I just want to ask, like, why is fear and helping people address, assess, and overcome their fears such a passion of yours?
Bro. I mean, it's everything. Like, if you think of, so what fear is, right? It's a protection mechanism to keep us alive.
Yeah.
If you look at the simple biology, but what it's turned into is, it's anytime something feels unsafe or like it's going to go wrong, that's where fear, anxiety, and stress come in. So it's literally anything where we feel like that heightened nervous system, it's activated, we feel triggered, we feel scared, you feel nervous, you feel anxious, that some layer beneath that is fear trying to protect you from something, from pain ultimately. And so that's why I personally love it. There's a few quotes that I really love, but one of them is that the cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek. Mm. And that's by Joseph Campbell, which essentially just means like, whatever you're afraid of is the treasure, right? Like, your freedom or everything you desire is on that other side of fear. And I'm sure you guys can relate, even like in romantic relationships. Like, I've definitely felt that with Belle, with my partner. Like, we have, like, I used to have a fear of commitment because it was actually the thing I desired, right? Like, I wanted to be so loved and be with someone, but I was terrified of being hurt and abandoned. So it's the thing that we desire more than anything is actually what we're afraid of, because we're afraid of losing it.
Before we go into this podcast, if you haven't checked out Element yet and just tried to get a pack, with every purchase of Element, you also get a free sample pack. So you get to try a variety of their different flavors. And especially as it gets colder, one of my favorite things to do is to make a hot chocolate with one of them. So I use the chocolate salt, and I just boil some water and put that like half the packet. You don't even need a lot, especially if you're like me who doesn't sweat a whole ton. You know, just having this, it's my energy boost in the middle of the day, and it tastes like I'm drinking hot chocolate. It is absolutely amazing. But I just have to say that electrolytes really support so many processes our body uses, especially if we are exercising. So sodium and potassium, they help to conduct nerve impulses, signaling our bodies to do things like lift a dumbbell or lift a kettlebell. And sodium really also regulates our fluid balance, which affects our blood flow. But I think we often forget about magnesium, and it's really the superstar behind the scenes because it's essential in the production of ATP, which is the energy molecule that powers our cells. And it aids in energy production, regulates blood sugar levels, and really helps muscles, including the heart, contract. So just so many reasons why we need to be adding good salt to our diets in order to continue our energy balance throughout the day. And we're not having those crashes, we're not feeling defeated, and we're just feeling so good on a day-to-day basis. It's really been a game changer in me and Dom's life, and something that we're so fortunate to be able to have. And I really just highly recommend, just try it. See what it can feel like to add at least a little bit of a package in your water. And maybe you just sprinkle it in throughout your water throughout the day. One package, that's really all you need. And see the difference that you can feel and make on a day-to-day basis. So please go check out that link in our show notes. It is drinkelement, which is lmnt.com/optimal. And you're going to get that free sample package as well with every purchase. And where do we kind of develop these fears? Because I know they're different for every person, right? Like, I think when most people think of fears too, they think like, oh, what are your top fears? Sharks in the dark and, you know, all these other things. But we do have those life fears, that those worries, those anxieties that come up. How do those develop?
Yeah. So it's exactly what you said, right? Is typically when like people ask me, Ben, what do you do? And I'm like, well, the best way to put it is like, I'm a fear coach.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what does that mean? Like spiders and heights? I'm like, no, think more, you know, emotional, existential. I'm afraid of, you know, rejection, abandonment, failure, all those things. So, I mean, they definitely form, from my standpoint, they form in childhood. And if you believe even in like past life stuff, they really just come from even just our biology as a human, right? It's like literally in our body to avoid pain and to avoid and to mitigate just like any sense of danger. That's, we try and evade danger at all costs. So anytime our subconscious mind is like, hey, this is potentially unknown, this is unpredictable, this is unsafe and something you should avoid, even though it hasn't happened yet, right? It's in the future. That's where fear comes in to protect and be like, hey, avoid that at all costs. And so, you know, they can stem from childhood and all the things, but it's just a basic, like, what do you not want to happen? What are you afraid of happening? And then fear steps in to try and prevent that from happening.
Yeah, I think that's important. And I mean, very Freudian and kind of the approach that, you know, in childhood, we develop a lot of these fears, which I absolutely believe that a lot of, you know, these subconscious beliefs or innate beliefs that we start to carry through life happen before we really technically are forming conscious memory. And I would kind of add to that, at least, you know, from my point of view, that major traumas in life that may have happened, you know, in our adult life or in our teen years can also contribute to some of these things like rejection or fear of commitment or, you know, what have you, or at least exacerbate some of the things that we may have developed when we were really young. And I was scrolling through your Instagram feed and I think I saw a post that just talked about how we should start framing fear as a good thing, or we should start when we have a fear or some anxiety come up, we should start to frame it as a good thing. And I just kind of want to pick your ear on that and why it makes sense to start framing fear as a good thing, and even how you start to do that.
I love it, dude. Yeah, that's like, I mean, it's such a good question. And that's one of my main things that I try and embody and be an example of, is because it's like fear has a bad rap, right? Yeah. It's like, it's literally telling you to avoid, like, fear. It's so funny because it's like it's hiding from itself in a way. It's like it's the most sneaky thing, because you might think it's something else, but it's actually fear. So like if we look at jealousy, for example, right, is like what I'm feeling jealous is, I'm jealous of someone or something or whatever. What that is actually revealing is that, oh, I don't feel good enough, right? I'm insecure. I want something that someone else has. So I think I'm not good enough without that. Something essentially around those lines. So what fear is actually revealing to me is what I desire. Is like, oh, like I desire to feel good enough. I desire to have this thing or whatever it may be. And so I look at fear as love in disguise. And we could get super esoteric into it, but essentially it's like fear is trying to protect you because it loves you. It's like, I do not want to experience pain. I do not want to get hurt. I do not want to lose money. I do not want to lose love or be rejected or lose my job, like whatever the thing is. And so it's coming from a good place. It's just a confused, misguided version of love. And so it's actually a really cool way to look at it, like that of just this confused version of love that's trying to protect you. Because why we're also, from my standpoint, one of the most, like perhaps the biggest reason like we all feel so stressed is because we're actually avoiding the root cause of the stress. And I'd imagine you guys agree, like even like our physical health, right? Is like, if we're just looking at, like if we're just taking the pills over and over and over and over, you're just masking the symptoms. You're not actually getting to the root cause. And so that's what fear causes you to do, is like, if I'm always stressed, if I'm always anxious, then I'm just avoiding that root of the like fear. Like, what am I actually afraid of happening? What is stress trying to, like, it's getting me in fight or flight because I think something's going wrong. So it's trying to protect me. So it's actually an amazing thing. And once you can look at like, oh, thank you fear, for trying to protect me from this danger, from this pain, from whatever. And then it starts to soften. It starts to even dissolve because you're not just saying, fear, I hate you, or I need to avoid you, or I don't want to feel you. So once you allow it in and feel it and accept it and acknowledge it and love it, then from that standpoint, you can actually start to alchemize it and get to the root of it and free yourself from it, because it becomes lighter instead of some dense, heavy energy.
So I think that's all really important for people to continue to remember. Like, there's another side of this fear that continues to pop up, or this anxiety or this worry that either someone is like mentally saying in their head over and over again, or even verbalizing out loud. But I think what's hard to detect sometimes is that underlying root cause that you kind of talk about, you know, the other side, the love part of this fear. So how does someone start to develop practices to make, one, the awareness factor, right, of like where this fear is coming from, but start to identify the deeper layer of it, the root cause of that fear?
Yeah, I mean, I love that question. And it's so important because, I mean, there's simple ways, probably the most like basic or like meditation and journaling. Even the course, my course, Fear Alchemy, actually guides people straight into it, like with prompts. Mm-hmm. But even if you don't do that, if you just pay attention to like where you're triggered, my favorite journaling exercise is just to keep track of all the times. Like, if you just spend a few days of, this is when I felt triggered, this is when I felt anxious, this is when I feel stressed, this is whenever I am overthinking or worried or doubtful, whatever the thing is you can actually start to see a trend of what is the thing or who is the thing that you actually fear, you feel fear around. And then once you identify, okay, these are the moments, these are the things that are causing me to feel this way, and then you can go within, and it's like, what is the thing? I would just ask myself, what do I desire, or what do I actually care about of this thing that I'm feeling anxious about? So if I'm overthinking about like a school exam or something, it's asking myself the question, why do I care? Mm-hmm. Well, it's I care because I want to do well on this exam. And then I would just follow that thought like pattern. And it's like, and just keep asking yourself why. Well, mm-hmm. Why do I want to do well on the exam? Well, because I want to get into the school, or I want to get into the PhD program or whatever it is. And well, why do I want to do that? It's because I want to make money, or I want to impress my parents, or I want to make society proud. And then you keep just asking yourself why. And then that will get down to the root of the real reason, which probably is just like, I want to prove that I'm enough, or that I'm capable. Mm-hmm. And so if you just follow that trend or that track, it'll actually lead you down to the real root reason of why you care about it. And that's why you're afraid of the thing. You don't consciously realize it, but it holds so much importance of that test in school or exam or whatever, because you actually care so much about being approved of or loved or being viewed as successful. So all those things like that.
I think there's two things in that answer that I really appreciated. One was the journaling. And yeah. I think that journaling is something that's so over-recommended and people will just throw out there like, oh, you should journal. But then everyone's biggest question is always like, but how? Like, how do I journal? How do I go about it? And even just your answer of starting, like, just literally list what was happening when the fear came up, like writing about it just factually can be so valuable. I mean, I had pretty significant head trauma in a car accident and was having a lot of memory issues and some anxiety and panic attacks actually after this accident. And one of the practices I picked up was daily journaling. And it was literally just writing exactly everything I could remember from the day previous, anytime that anxiety or panic came up. And it did. It just kind of helped chronicle and put in front of me the order of events of the day. And you start to develop patterns. And it's a great way of developing that awareness, because that's exactly what you're doing. You're just consciously thinking about what happened in your day. And it helps you then start to ask the deeper questions of why. And that's the second thing I loved about your answer, was that the kind of but why game. And if you continue asking yourself, but why, it can really lead you into some cool places, whether it's, oh, I want to pass this test so I can graduate from school and get this degree and work with people and help people. I mean, it might come from a place of love, where you are just wanting to be able to provide for people and you have that fear that you can't provide. But then it also could, you know, lead to a place of, well, I want to prove to somebody that I'm enough, or I want to prove that I'm smart and can get this degree. So a couple of really valuable tools, journaling just by starting by listing things out and playing that but why game. Okay, I'm fearful about this, but why? Super important.
Thanks, dude. Actually, that I've never said that answer before, and I really love it.
Yeah.
So honestly, I'm probably going to turn that into something, because I was like, wow, that's actually really good, like, be super helpful even for me.
Yeah, I mean, that is something that I remember we did in like one of the emotional intelligence programs, I guess I could say. One of the first levels, like one of the most powerful exercises that I think everyone takes away is asking the but why question. And I think it wasn't but why, it was more of like, okay, so say this is what you're afraid of. Well, what happens then? You know, and what can happen after that? Okay, and then what can happen after that? And then what can happen after that? And you keep going into like, and then what? And then what? And then what? And ultimately, you don't end it, but like, usually, like, I die. It's usually like, oh yeah, like, die, I don't know. You know, like, it leads to nothing, because you realize that these fears don't really lead you into a horrible place of what we might be fearing. It's just, so getting to unpack that and really dive into it is just so incredibly important. And you did kind of mention a little bit too about fear alchemy. Can you just explain a little bit of what that is?
For sure. So I want to just echo what you said, Jen. Like, that's so about it leading us to where it, like, it's not leading us anywhere. And that's, honestly, I get so jazzed up. Like, I'm such a nerd for fear. It sounds so funny. But like, it's an illusion, right? It's like, fear is imaginary, but danger is real. Mm. So it's like, of course, if I am like on the edge of a cliff looking down, I'm actually not afraid of falling. I'm afraid of dying. But like, that's danger, right? Like, fear is actually like trying to protect you from something that hasn't happened. So it's completely illusionary. And so I just love that you said that, because once you actually go down, well, what happens next, or ask but why, you actually get to the point of like, oh, like, it's actually not that bad. And you become free. And like, that's such an amazing, expanded, joyful feeling. And that's part of my mission, which goes into your second question about fear alchemy. Like, what if fear didn't exist? Like, this is kind of a nuanced question, but that's one of my favorite questions to ask people, is like, what would you do if fear didn't exist? Like, what would you do if you couldn't fail? How would you love if you wouldn't get hurt? Like, those types of questions is the result from this course, and just like what I believe is possible. Because I've seen so many people not do the thing or not be the thing or not say the thing because they're terrified of whatever the reason is. And so like, how amazing would it feel to actually feel courageous and confident enough to do that thing that you're so afraid of because of what people will say or what people will think or who you could hurt or what you'll lose? Like, that feeling is like what I'm after to support as many people as possible, like thousands, millions of people. And so Fear Alchemy is, it's a way to go into the deep rooted stories of your psyche, of your body. Like, this isn't just mindset. I believe mindset isn't everything. Like, it's important for your body to come along for the ride too, because they are one and the same and they need to be in coherence. And so it's mind and body practices to actually tap into that feeling. And then once you actually learn what fear is, what it feels like for you specifically in your body and in your mind, what's really cool about the course is, from my years of coaching people, is I've learned that there's 10 foundational fears. And so it's, this course is like a choose your own adventure where there's 10 fears that you're able to choose from. So you can learn about one, you could go through all 10 of them, but you actually are able to go through every single fear if you want. And it gives you specific prompts for that fear. And it's like an algorithm where it spits out, you follow these prompts and it spits out your deepest like fear, right? So it plays that but why game or the what next. And then once you get that deep, the core of the fear, then I take you through a process where it shows you how to transform it or alchemize it. So it's not just the, and I appreciate Dom said this, right? It's not just journal.
Yeah.
Or try harder, work harder. It's like, actually, like, I'm such a proponent of like, what are the tools and what is the how? And so I've worked, ironically, I mean, I have worked hard, I will say that, to create this thing, but it's giving you the actual tools of like, okay, I feel stressed, I feel anxious, I feel very fearful, and now what? And so it walks you through, it's very simple. And it's really like I'm there coaching with you and guiding with you. And we have a really cool community too. So it's like, you'll get access to this really cool group chat where everyone's sharing their wins and asking questions. I've been surprised, honestly. I hoped it would work, but I've been pleasantly surprised of how it's working. So I'm stoked about it.
Well, and I think that just comes out when you're so passionate about something and you put in the work to develop something like this, you know, the rest just happens. And I mean, I told you before, I just love the name Fear Alchemy. One, because I think alchemy is an amazing and somewhat underused word. And it just makes me thinking of, or it makes me think of mixing the potions of the mind and the body and the spirit in order to find this path, but really setting up that roadmap in these 10 areas of fear. And I'm kind of intrigued by that you've identified these 10 core fears. Does everybody have an underlying root cause in all these 10 areas? Will somebody go through one of the paths and maybe assess and say, this doesn't seem to be one of my, you know, significant fear drivers?
Yeah. So it's actually, that's one cool part about it is it's extremely intuitive.
Yeah.
So it's not just like it's like, here's this rigid module that you have to follow, is that there's 10 foundational fears and you might think it's one and then it jumps you to the other. Mm. And so I would say, I don't want to say everybody, but I would say everybody because we're all human. And so of course we all feel fear because on some level, and they're all interconnected. So for example, like you might have a fear of money, right? Like a fear of, which really a fear of money is a desire to be successful. It's a desire to be safe. It's a desire to really, like, those two are probably the main things. Mm-hmm. And then, but I've had people who go into the fear of money thing because that's such a, you know, common thing for people. But really what it leads to is like, oh, I'm actually afraid of losing control. Mm-hmm. And money is the vehicle, the vessel of how I feel in control. It's how I feel safe. It's how, like, I literally it's like protect myself with having this much money. And so when you go into those things, it will lead you down other roads. And so I like that question.
And what is on the other side of going down these roads? Like, what's on the other side of going deeper into your fear?
I love it. Freedom. Imagine, like, feel, like, in your body that true feeling of, like, what if fear didn't exist? Like, what if I could do everything I was afraid of, like, confidently? Like, to me, that's complete liberation. That's peace. That's joy. And it's not to say, like, you're never going to feel fear again. I don't believe that. Like, is like when people say, be fearless, it's like, well, that I understand the sentiment of that and the energy and the rah-rah of that, but it's not avoiding fear or pretending that you're fearless. It's I'm feeling the fear completely and I'm acknowledging it and I'm loving it and I'm holding that scared kid's hand and I'm taking them along the journey with me. So then they know it's like, look what's possible even though I'm scared, because courage wouldn't exist if fear didn't exist. So that question is very nuanced of what would you do if fear didn't exist? Then you immediately have the answer of, okay, well, here's what I would do. And simultaneously, it's like, well, like you have to have that courage. So for me, the simple answer that I resonate with over and over again is that like freedom to be and say and do whatever I feel is true for me.
And I think that's just a great segue, you know, talking about that freedom and what would we do if we weren't afraid? And I think a lot of people out there would start doing things that right now they perceive as very risky, or taking a leap of faith per se. And I know that I've seen you talk about this a lot on your different pages and platforms, like taking that leap of faith, whether it has to do with commitment in a relationship or whether it has to do commitment in the workplace or starting. I know entrepreneurs talk about this all the time, like, when do I just leave my 9-to-5 and start my own job, you know, start my own thing? And sometimes that requires going to a place that's very, very uncomfortable. And I've seen some things on your page that talk about just like being able to push yourself and take that leap of faith. But then again, in my mind, and maybe this is my own fears talking to me, I feel like there always has to be some level of preparation. So you're just not taking a blind leap. You're taking a prepared leap into this scary and uncomfortable space. So just talk about what it means to take a leap of faith and when somebody knows or should be able to tell if they're ready for that.
I love, dang, dude, that's such a good question. Like, I was actually writing about that this morning, specifically about when do you know is a time for this specific like post or writing. Is that when do I know it's time to like leave my job? And like you said, it's different for everybody. So it's not like a one size fits all. Here's a checklist to follow. Like we wish it was that simple, but it's listening to the wisdom of your body, right? Mm-hmm. And of your soul and your mind is like, yes, it's some people are more calculated than others. Like we are all designed very uniquely. So it's for me, like when I left my job in 2019, right before Jen and I met, is like, I didn't have any business revenue. Like it was like people told me, Ben, don't do it. They're like, I consulted like financial managers and like mentors, and they're like, wait 6 more months, like try and get your business off the ground. But there was something just in me that literally was like, Ben, it's now or never. Like it was this burning, like undeniable feeling in my gut and in my heart. And that's how you know, is it's not these outside voices or me telling you, here's this thing when you know. It's like, you know. It's like, there's this voice inside of you that's telling you to do the thing, to say the thing, to be the thing, to take that leap. So like, you know, it's the thing, right? It's like, and then we all have our own risk tolerance that you have to be prepared for and like calculate on your own. But eventually, right, is like, if you're waiting to be ready, then you'll always be waiting. And if you're always waiting to have it all figured out, then you'll always be waiting. So there's this mix of like, what do I need as an individual to feel safe and prepared? And also knowing that gap. There's always going to be a gap, right? There's always going to be some type of leak because that's the unknown. Like that's the beautiful magic and opportunity of this life is if we knew everything, then it wouldn't be fun. Mm. Like the unknown is where all possibilities exist. Like that is where you will thrive. That is where you'll make more money. That is where you'll experience more love of whatever that unknown place is, whatever that is for you. That is the magic. Like that's where everything you desire is just waiting to be created because you can't create something like new from the old. Like you'll have to let go of something for something new to come in.
That's so funny and so interesting because you telling your journey of like, you know, having people say, not yet. It's like, I feel like mine was kind of opposite where people are telling me, you know, why are you still working 9 to 5? Like, go do your own thing. And I'm like, not ready. Mm. And it kind of had, it did have to come from me and not from other people. You know, I mean, and same with you. It came from you, not from other people, right? But it was just an inverse of what people were saying, where it really needed to come from when I felt that this is the right time. This, and it wasn't that I had everything in place. Like I remember I gave my work a 1 week notice because I was like, I have so much to figure out and I need to go do my thing and find my clients and do, you know, it's not that I had it all figured out. It was just that it felt like the right moment for me. And it felt like I don't need to rush this. This is when it is for me. So it's just so interesting. But I also think that's hard. And I guess that's my question too, is how do you take out the outside noise of what everyone is saying and be able to listen and tune into this intuition? Like how do you know that this is your intuition? But maybe it's my fear talking, but maybe this other person is right and I should listen to them. And maybe, you know, there's so much noise. I think that happens with intuition as well. Like, how do we know how to follow that?
Oof, I love that so much. So it's like, and Jen, I appreciate you sharing that because it is different, right? Like, yeah, I don't want to be someone who is just like, everyone quit your job now. Yeah. Like, and throw caution to the wind. Like, that's not what I'm saying. Is like, whatever that thing is for you that is like calling you. But like you said, Jen, right? Is like you, like you had your own version of that. And I think that's so cool is, but it had to be right for you. And before I go into the intuition, can I just ask, and this will go into the intuition, but Jen, how did you know, like what was in your body? Because I know it was probably still scary for you. Mm-hmm. Do you mind sharing like what was the scariness versus what was like that expansive, exciting feeling?
Well, for me, it was I had the opportunity to shoot for a magazine and it happened to be on a Saturday. But it as soon as I went through the process and I got to shoot with the magazine and do all this stuff, I just thought to myself, what if this was during the week and I had to pass up on this opportunity and I couldn't take this? And so all of a sudden there was just this immediate knowing within my body of this is it. And I text my bosses right then and I said, we need to talk on Monday. And I just knew. And I didn't know. And it just all happened to fall into place. Again, it was like right timing for me. I'm so glad I listened to my intuition and I'm so glad I did it on my time, in my knowing, in my body, rather than, yeah, whatever Nas told me I should do.
Okay, I love that so much. So I had a similar thing, and this is one way to like tap into your like intuition. And I call this pretending to make a decision, which sounds pretty funny, but it's like what you got to experience is like you're imagining this thing, right? But you were actually in the reality of, okay, I'm doing this magazine shoot on a Saturday. What if I was doing this every day of my life? Like any hour during the day, whatever. And what I did is I actually booked a 1 week experiment where I was in this corporate world. Like I was a director at a finance company and I experimented to be like, okay, I'm going to take 1 week off. I'm going to go to Austin, Texas, ironically where I live now, and I'm going to spend a week there and just do everything as if I didn't have a job, like a 9-to-5 job? Like, what would I do as an entrepreneur? What would I do with my day to day? And so this is essentially me just putting myself in the environment similar to you, where it's, I actually get to feel what my body feels like. Mm. Like, how am I reacting? What does it feel like? And it was so natural for me. And that's how I knew it was right. Is fear is typically, it's that like jittery, confused, overwhelming, heavy, like denseness, like tightness, constricting in your body. Mm. And that intuition, that truth is that light. It's natural. It feels safe. That's a big thing. But that doesn't mean it also can't feel like nerve-wracking, right? There's that mm-hmm. balance of like, oh my God, I'm so excited and I'm also terrified. But when you tap into your body, is like, oh, but it feels so open. It feels so free. I'm scared and like I'm feeling this feeling. And trying that experiment for me allowed me to really ultimately quit my job. And another question that I got asked by a mentor, like literally the week where I was just really like, what do I do? What do I do? Like, I can't stand this anymore. And they're like, well, what would you do if you couldn't fail? And as soon as they asked me that question, my body just lit up. It was just like a woo. Like I felt this immediate, oh, like I knew. And so asking yourself questions is another great way to tap into your yes and tap into your no. And I've done that before, like when I've rebranded or shifted. It could be prayer, it could be meditation, it could just be pondering, whatever, journaling, and just asking yourself, is this the right way, yes or no? And then like listening to how your body lights up, and then maybe how it like tenses up is how you know. And then this is all really cool, because then it led me to, when I did quit my job, like some people do have these amazing quit stories, right? Of like, I said F you to my boss and like slammed the door and walked out. For me, it was, you know, I gave a month notice and it was very amicable. But the difference is what I felt is when I was outside of that, it felt very natural for me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't some like chaotic adrenaline feeling, which that can happen depending on the circumstance. It was still very exciting and freeing and all the things. But when I really, really tapped into my body, it just felt like me. So I feel like that's the key of tapping into your intuition of like, what feels natural for me? What feels normal? What feels safe? What feels expansive and free and loving? And then that's how your intuition speaks to you.
Mm. Yeah, I think this topic of intuition, it's so complex, because like mm-hmm. Jen kind of brought up, there's a lot of voices at the risk of sounding schizophrenic. There's a lot of voices inside my head talking to me all the time. And understanding which one of those is speaking into that love and expansiveness is key. But then again, like you alluded to, not that that's going to feel 100% brilliant and great all the time. Like that in itself can evoke some other fears. Like once you make that decision, fears of failure, fears of not being good enough, not being smart enough to create this program or succeed in this mm-hmm. new entrepreneurial endeavor that you've decided to jump into. And that kind of brings up a topic of imposter syndrome, which I know it can happen for entrepreneurs, but it can happen in any workplace, any mm-hmm. anyone coming out of school, especially if you mm-hmm. you know, get some sort of specific degree to work in a specific space, and then you're just expected to do the job and you're like, I don't know all this yet. I'm not good. I'm not good enough to do all this. I'm not good enough to be a physical therapist yet, or to jump in and be my own entrepreneur and be self-employed yet. So how do you help people approach this thing called imposter syndrome when there's just that voice inside us saying like, yeah, I know you made this decision, but you're not good enough?
Dang, dude. I love this so much. Like, I need to do something with imposter syndrome. It keeps coming up and up, because like you said, it is a fear of not being good enough, right? Like, is I'm not ready enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't know enough. I don't have the right certification, or someone's more experienced than me. Mm-hmm. And one thing that's really helped me is, and I wonder if you guys have experienced this, and I know not everyone has this experience, but podcasting, like I've and even coaching, like having the experience to go to retreats or coaching one-on-one of different people, like successful people, it's been really revealing to me that honestly, some of the most successful people I've seen are the most afraid. And it's like, it's, I mean, I still feel it. I mean, obviously, like I feel fear and I'm like, okay, sweet. Like I view fear as like a compass that's guiding me to my next level of expansion. But it's this imposter syndrome of knowing that, like all, I'm curious to hear your guys' story, if you don't mind like sharing just a little bit of like, of course, like, because you're not that person yet. So it's, first of all, I'll just say like, it's completely normal to feel that. Like I was watching an interview. Have you guys seen like the Marvel movie, like Shang-Chi or something like that?
Yeah. I think so. He's like the martial artist, superhero. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was watching this show with Bear Grylls and he was taking him. It was like this intense, like you guys would love this. They're like in the mountains and it was like this such deep snow. And he actually they cut a hole in the lake and they actually dove in, but you know, there's no sauna or anything. They're just like doing these crazy things. But anyway, in this show, I forgot the actor's name, but he was like an accountant well into his 30s or something like that. And he got two roles. And then his third role was obviously this huge Marvel movie. And 4 days after he got hired and casted, he was brought to Comic-Con and he was sitting next to, you know, Robert Downey Jr., Angelina Jolie. And he said, he's like, I felt like an imposter because it's like, I don't have the experience. I haven't been in these movies and who am I to be here, you know? Mm-hmm. So even these incredibly successful people that you might look up to or respect, like we all feel it because we obviously we're shooting for something that we might have an inkling of us in. Like we have this true self that we're remembering and unlearning and becoming. But also at the same time is like that fear, right, is expanding us into really of who we're meant to be. So it's completely normal to feel like a fraud or an imposter because it's you're on your way there. So that's what I would just say is like feeling that feeling and honoring that feeling and using it as fuel of like, oh, sweet, like this, like I'm getting closer and closer and it's a completely normal thing to feel. So that's what I feel called just to really share is like, it's normal. I feel it. I imagine you guys have felt it, maybe still feel it. And then using that to like fuel yourself to get closer and closer to whatever goal or place you envision yourself at.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in so many different aspects from coming onto social media, launching your first program, yeah. Like yeah. I'm coming out of PT school. There's just so many areas that have continued to feel this intense imposter syndrome and who am I to do this? And still, you know, because, and I, for me, a lot of that imposter syndrome comes from the fear of judgment from people and what others might think or what others might say or what others, you know, just the fear of judgment and, you know, being able to unpack that. And every time I step into a new room or I speak to people or I meet someone and I remember, you know, this feeling of they're just like me, they're human. And, you know, when we actually get to have just like real human to human conversations, they're actually really down to earth and it's not that crazy and we're not that different. And, you know, I always continue to remind myself of these moments where I've met really incredible people that I look up to or I have felt imposter syndrome in front of and have those opportunities to feel that human connection, be able to remind myself, we're all figuring this out. We're all moving on a day-to-day basis and just trying to do the best we can. So it like kind of motivates me to just, like you said, you just keep going. You just keep leaning in and it keeps reminding you of what you want to step into. I mean, if people can get on the other side of any of their fears, again, you don't have to be an entrepreneur, right? To be able to lean into this. it's really unpacking that. I mean, imagine what can happen in your relationships, in your mm-hmm. with your children, at your workplace, in so many aspects, and just how we show up in the world. So where could people find this fear alchemy so that they can say, okay, I'm finally ready to like break through some of this stuff and unpack like where it really comes from?
Oof, man, I love this. I'm excited. And I know I'm like, man, we could talk forever, but we'll leave you guys hanging a little bit. So if you go to my Instagram, just at the fear guy, or I'll have Jen and Dom, I'll send them a link too. So the link in the show notes, it's feeling-free.com/fear-alchemy. DM me, link in the show notes, all the things. Or you probably could just Google Fear Alchemy and I imagine it'd come up.
Amazing.
Fantastic. Ben, thanks so much for being with us today, dicing into fear a little bit, helping us learn how to reframe it as something that can be positive in our life. Again, I loved when you were explaining that because it's how Jen and I talk about pain a lot.
Yeah.
I think exactly word for word almost how we start to talk to people about pain and how it's a messenger and how it's a protective mechanism. Yes. And we need to start reframing that. So fear, pain, whatever it is, there's always ways that we can use it as a tool and integrate it. And if anything in this podcast resonated with anyone out there, go check out Fear Alchemy, check out Ben's stuff on Instagram and at his website. And man, we're looking forward to, yeah, getting to connect in the future.
Thank you both. I appreciate you. And I knew this was going to be good, but this was, man, it was so fun for me. And like, because I knew that's what you guys talk about, right? Is, I mean, we're all alchemists, right? We're all, what are you turning that pain into purpose, or, you know, all these different things that people say, or into art or to creation, even like how you move your body, right? Mm-hmm. Is like, for me personally, like literally when I like work out or dance or move or just stretch is like, oh, like I can feel that energy in my body being transmuted.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's like no matter what thing you're in or doing or whatever, is like that is the honestly the beautiful experience of that we have this opportunity in life to alchemize and to transmute the pain or the hurt into like beauty and expression. Mm. So thank you both for having me. Like, I love you, excited for you all. And I'll stop my thank yous because I could keep thanking you.
No, thank you, man. Again, very excited to see you and Belle grow and your family and what you all have come in the near future. One last quick question, just because it popped into my head.
Yeah, let's go.
Are you familiar with Wim Hof?
You know it. Absolutely.
Of course. I have to credit him with probably one of my favorite uses of the word alchemist, because he just during a breath session, I went to one of his live sessions, and during the middle of it, he shouted, and for people who aren't familiar, he does breath work and really teaches you how to, you know, control your physiology with certain breath techniques. And he just shouts out, "It's just chemistry and you are the alchemist." And he's got this amazing like Danish accent. So you hit it on the head. It's just all chemistry and we are the alchemists learning how to change that for our advantage. And so thanks so much for helping people add tools into their toolbox today, man.
I love that. Yeah, it's like, and Wim talks a lot about fear too. Because totally. That's what it is in the body, right? It's like when you're getting into you guys know, a frozen lake, what is your body saying? It's like,
oh, yeah.
Danger.
What are you doing?
That's what I was saying to Dom when he was cutting a hole in the ice with his friend and jumping in and made me stand there and film it in my big, huge coat. I'm like, why am I out here?
Yeah, she's like, this is miserable. I'm like, I'm sitting in a hole in the lake. Like, relax.
Yeah, right. And that's like the beautiful thing, right? Is like to train us, like to increase our capacity. It's not just like some people will say, like, increase your discomfort capacity. Like, that's true too. But really what you're doing is like you are becoming an alchemist of something that like, oh, it feels like I'm going to die and I'm actually going to thrive instead.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's huge.
Fantastic. Well, again, I'm sure we could have another hour conversation and we are going to have you back on to talk through all that we left unsaid. But until then, man, have a good one and thanks again.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you both.
Such a fun interview with Ben talking about how to navigate fear in your life and use that as a strength. If you've been enjoying these podcasts or feel like you have a friend or family member that could benefit from any of these, please consider sharing it with them or leaving a rating and review on your favorite podcasting platform. And of course, we will see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.